This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and online at kexp.org. My guest this morning is John Raymer of Compassionate Seattle, a network of self-organizing groups who share a common vision for a compassionate city and world. John is also a co-founder of Ideal Network, that is collaborative commerce for a values-based marketplace. John Raymer is here today to give us an update on the work of Compassionate Seattle and tell us about the Compassion Games, Survival of the Kindest, which are currently taking place here in Seattle. Welcome, John.
Hi, Diane.
Would you like to begin by telling us about Compassionate Seattle and how it came about?
Yes, for sure. In fact, probably many of the listeners recall in 2008, the Dalai Lama visited for an event called the Seeds of Compassion. And as we all know, events are great, and that was a five-day event. It was one of the largest events in the history of the state. It was free to the community. But events come and go, and we knew going into the event that we'd need to do something to sustain the momentum coming out. Many people stood up and pledged to live a more compassionate life at the Seeds of Compassion. So the Compassionate Action Network was originally formed, and that group looked to see what can we do to keep the momentum going. The same year that the Dalai Lama was here, Karen Armstrong won the TED Prize. So I'm assuming most of the listeners have listened to TED Talks, but if they haven't, they're really remarkable. Their ideas worth spreading. And each year they give an award, the TED Prize, to one person. Like Bono won the TED Prize, Bill Clinton won the TED Prize. Well, in 2008, the same year that we had His Holiness here, Karen Armstrong, a religious scholar, won the TED Prize. And you get $100,000 and one wish to change the world. And her wish was to implement globally the Golden Rule. And a year was spent articulating and writing it. 150,000 people contributed, and it became the Charter for Compassion. So we had this idea, why not become the first city in the world to affirm the Charter for Compassion? So we ran a campaign. We went to the mayor and the city council and said, if we can get 1,000 people to pledge their time, talent, and treasure to help others meet their basic human needs, would you be willing to sign on and become the first city in the world to affirm the charter? They did. We were able to get 1,000, we had more than 1,000 people to sign up, and we became the first city and affirmed the Charter for Compassion. Well, that led to now 80 cities around the world. In fact, so much so that Compassionate Action Network became Compassionate Action Network International, to support all these other cities, and then we created a separate entity, Compassionate Seattle. And we're very excited that we've got this much engagement going around the world, but we had to make sure we could walk our own talk here and go deeper here. So that was the roots for the birth of Compassionate Seattle, and I'll fill you in more on the Compassion Games as we go along.
Who and or what groups are involved with Compassionate Seattle?
Well, a large number of groups, like you said, self-organizing. And groups could be community groups, like the Finney Neighborhood Association can be a group, and they are a group, as well as organizations. So these games that we're doing include the United Way of King County. They're one of our partners. We've got the city council. We've got the mayor. We've got Dow Constantine's office as a partner. Swedish Medical Center is a partner. And a wide range of organizations, including a for-profit company, the Talking Rain Beverage Company, is one of our sponsors of the Compassion Games. But many organizations here in town that are looking to reach out to create a culture of compassion are welcome and are part of Compassionate Seattle. And the list goes on. And we're trying to also reach across this north and south divide. Because, Dan, what happened was with the recent gun violence in Seattle, we made it our business to listen and start to see what's going on in the community. And many people feel socially isolated and disconnected. They feel like there's two cities. And, you know, there was the rapper who said, shots fired in the South End, nobody cares. Shots fired in the North End, everybody's scared. And we took that to heart and we said, we need to do better. And we need to find ways to re-engage and connect with each other. And what happened was one of the cities, so we gave the city of Louisville the Model Compassionate City Award. And their mayor turned around and challenged us and said that Louisville is the most compassionate city in the world and will be considered so until proven otherwise. And in fact, they said since they're a compassionate city, they'd help us beat them in the process. So that's when we decided we'd do these compassion games, Survival of the Kindest, and with the hope that we'd get cities all over the world to participate with us. And that's really why we're here today to talk about that. But that's the background against how Compassionate Action Network came into form. Compassionate Seattle grew out of that. And now the Compassion Games have grown out of that.
Before we talk in detail about the Compassion Games, would you say more about the projects and accomplishments of Compassion at Seattle up to now?
Yeah. The thing that I think is one of the first things that come to mind is on our board of Compassion at Seattle is Andrea Brennecke, a civil rights attorney. And she represented the Williams family after the tragic killing of John T. Williams. And what happened was she's been a practitioner of and student of restorative justice. This is a whole different model than the punitive model. So we should know this story happened in Seattle. I'm very proud about this. What Andrea did was, after meeting with the tribe and the Williams family, reached out to the chief of police. This was 2 weeks after the shooting. And they had an off-the-record restorative circle that was intended to really take a different approach to how to cope with the tension and the pain and the grief. And it was that conversation that really led to Rick Williams, John's brother, who wanted a different response. And that response turned into that beautiful totem pole that was carved and raised and gifted to the city of Seattle. So that's one very practical example of how compassionate action could be used at moments to diffuse tension and conflict, and led to a beautiful example. If those of you haven't seen it, it's right there on the lawn between the Space Needle and EMP is a beautiful totem pole in John T. Williams' honor. And that really is demonstrative of an alternative approach to how to cope with community violence and community angst. And why not turn that pain into something beautiful? That's what John was saying. Let's give them back something even more beautiful. That's what Rick, his brother, was saying in response to the killing of his brother.
Would you comment on the Seattle Heart Map?
Yes. Okay. That's another thing that we've built. So there's so many solutions. I call it solutions culture. And people don't know about what's working. And we need to strengthen what's working. So we found a 1905 real estate map shaped as a heart on the site. When you go on there, you're not going to believe it, but that was actually made by a real estate company in 1905. It's a beautiful early picture of Seattle. And we are using that map. On top, we overlaid something called the brain to create the heart of Seattle. And you can see all the organizations that are engaging in compassionate work within the community. You got to know the network in order to knit the network. So you can go in there and sort by asset types. You can go in there and say by sector. So let's see all the groups working in the area of youth and children, or the area of justice, or the area of governance. So there's a variety of different ways to organize that information, but that's open to everyone to participate. There's hundreds and hundreds of organizations there. And it's part of our sense that we don't really know all the solutions that are working. And if we were more mindful and aware of those, we'd actually be able to strengthen those. So the heart map is on the Compassion Games site. It's also on the Compassion at Seattle site. And we encourage you to go. If you want your organization to be on there, we just want to get connected to you and we'll add it. We want to have a growing sense that there's a community here of caring people who are trying to work together to make the city and the world a better place.
Looking at the Compassionate Cities campaign, how many cities are involved and where are they located?
Well, all over the world, not only here in the U.S., Turkey, Canada. There are compassionate countries. In fact, Canada is looking to be the first country in the world, and Australia quickly following. So there are almost 85 cities that have embarked on the process to affirm the Charter for Compassion. I think 8 or 9 have already gone through the entire process, with Seattle being the first. And like I said, Louisville, which is amazing. Thomas Merton's from there. Muhammad Ali is there, and he's giving a shout out to the games in support of what we're doing. They're really in some ways way ahead of us. I love this idea of being the first follower, that they say what leaders really need are first followers. So like Karen Armstrong put forward the Charter for Compassion and we signed on. Louisville's challenged us, and that's why we're doing these Compassion Games as well. But there are many cities as a list. If you go to the site, not compassionateseattle.org, but there is a compassion.is site, which is for the Compassionate Action Network. You can see the list of all the cities and their progress in achieving a compassionate culture.
Looking worldwide at the cities that are involved in compassionate cities, would you give an example or two of what kind of actions they've been taking?
Well, yeah. You know, one partnership that's worked well, both in Louisville and here, is with United Way. So there's already volunteer efforts. Like here in Seattle, we have a Day of Caring. But again, a Day of Caring just isn't really enough. So there are organizations and groups doing things all over the world. United Way is a natural partner to do this with. But like Karen Armstrong is beloved in many Islamic countries. There where tolerance is so important, especially right now, as Americans are trying to make sense of what's going on in the Muslim world, that they are using the Charter for Compassion to teach tolerance and respect, a lot of it in schools in particular. because unfortunately there's a lot of ignorance around each other. We just don't really know each other. So in Turkey and in Pakistan, there are cities that are using the charter to put into education, into their early schools, to begin to teach a different way of thinking about each other and the fact that we really all are so much more similar than we're different.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is John Raymer of Compassionate Seattle. Our topic is the work of Compassionate Seattle and the Compassion Games, which are currently taking place here in Seattle. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Would you just give a brief overview of the Charter for Compassion and the key elements in it?
Well, it's four paragraphs. That's what it turned out to be. And it has to do with making sure that our children have the right to learn about information about other ways of thinking, which is one of the problems, as you know, that sometimes groups feel as if they don't want their kids to know the whole story, but we think everyone's entitled to know that. And it is a beautiful expression. Archbishop Desmond Tutu and Dalai Lama all signed on to the charter, and there is a site for the Charter for Compassion. And those four paragraphs are really that we need to think differently about how we relate to each other and know each other. It begins with this notion that, in fact, we are at a time when we need compassion. It's the golden rule. Basically, what Karin was saying is that all these religious faiths, spiritual teachings, ethical paths have that idea in common, that to treat others the way you want to be treated, or don't treat others the way you don't want to be treated. So the charter is a new expression of the golden rule for our time. Now, what we're saying here in Seattle is that the golden rule is a good starting point, but that's not enough. We need to go from the golden rule to a golden reality, and that'll only happen by starting from within. So we take the whole approach based on Native American principles that change starts from within. So there's a beautiful summary statement that's part of our principles that really complement the charter. Starting from within, working in a circle, in a sacred manner, we heal and develop ourselves, our relationships in the world. That's one of the things I'm really happy that's grown out of our work is taking a little bit of ownership and responsibility for some of the hurt that was caused in the way that we arrived here in this continent and the responsibility we have to make amends there and heal the hurts.
Now let's talk about the Compassion Games. What are the Compassion Games?
Yes, the Compassion Games, Survival of the Kindest. So we kicked off the games on September 21st, and they'll continue through October 21st. And that was really fortuitous because the 21st was the International Day of Peace. It was also the autumnal equinox, and it was United Way's Day of Caring. And October 21st is the last day of the next 50, which is the 50th anniversary celebration of the World's Fair. And the last month of the next 50 focuses on civic engagement. So we thought, look at that. Isn't that a perfect frame for us? And like I said, it was the mayor of Louisville who challenged us and challenged other cities to participate as well. They accumulated 90,000 hours of community service in their one-week program called Give a Day that they ran in April. And we thought, well, because of that nice 30-day frame, why not do the Compassion Games, kick them off here for 30 days? So there's 30 days of community service, and there's four ways you can play the games. So with United Way's partnership, we have on our site, on compassiongames.org, you can go on and add a volunteer project or choose to volunteer for some of the existing projects. And I'll talk in a few minutes, I'm sure, about some of those projects because they're really fabulous. So that's one way you can play, is you can volunteer. You can either get people to volunteer to a project of yours that you need work with, or you can volunteer to support those projects. Then there's random acts of compassion. So not only are there planned projects, but we have these compassion cards that we've been distributing around the city that give you suggestions on things you can do for others that you know, for new friends, for the world, as well as for yourself. And that's the second part of the games, these random acts of compassion. Then there's also this really cool game called Super Better. So maybe some of you who've watched those TED Talks know Jane McGonigal or her sister Kelly. They're twin sisters who are really brilliant scientists and inventors. She's invented this game, she, Jane, called Super Better, which is about building resilience. So that has to do with strength physically, socially, mentally, and emotionally. And we're using that game to do a scavenger hunt here in town. So we want you to sign up on Super Better and invite the Compassion Games to be your ally. And what happens when you play Super Better is you set an epic win for yourself, some goal you're trying to achieve. It could be some health-related goal or emotional goal. Maybe you want to lose weight, or you're really just coping with depression or an addiction. This is for real resilience. This stuff really gets to what the heart of what's going on for individuals. And then by reaching out to us, we give you quests. So the game offers you quests, things for you to do. It gives you advice on how you battle bad guys. So there's emotional vampires and triggers. It's really backed by some really good science. So the idea is to use the tool to build your own resilience while we're building the community's resilience in the process. So that's the third way to play the game, to scavenger hunt using Super Better. And then throughout all of those other, we want to hear your stories of compassion. It's amazing what I've seen, Diane, in just doing this. There was an incident which I got permission to share, a pastor named Ray Rogers in the South End. So we were working together and trying to implement the Safer Communities program that the mayor's got going here. And I was at a small meeting when Ray realized sitting across the table from him was Harry Bailey. Officer Harry Bailey is now a special advisor to the mayor. 25 years ago, though, Ray was arrested by Harry, selling him narcotics. And there were six words that Harry said to Ray that he never forgot. It was, "You don't have to do this." That was the phrase. It's in the video that we captured. And the story that Pastor Rogers said, that he was treated with such compassion and respect by this arresting officer, that it had such a lasting impact that he turned his life around. And right now in our city, as you know, the police are challenged by the Department of Justice to create a different way of relating to us as the citizens. And this is such a beautiful story of compassion. So what happened was, there was a march and rally we were a part of a few weeks ago, and I happened to have my little camera there, and I recorded Ray Rogers, and he had Harry there and brought Harry up to tell that story again. And it is such an inspiring example. And the special advisor, Harry Bailey, encouraged the police to watch that video and hear that story, because the way we are with each other really does matter. And this was out of the blue. Harry, I don't know if he ever remembered it, but it was 25 years ago that he arrested Ray, and did it in a way with such dignity and respect that turned Ray's life around. And Ray's a beautiful example of how, even if you've made a mistake like that, how you can still turn your life around. We need to hear those kind of stories of compassion. We are the stories that we hear. We are the stories that we tell. And we're encouraging people to participate in the games and tell us their stories.
You've been alluding to this, but would you elaborate on the overall goal of the Compassion Games?
Well, frankly, now it's to beat Louisville. You know, it's kind of funny in that it would turn out that way. Survival of the kindest. This is what I would call a culture hack. We're culture hacking, Diane, in that we want to use competition in a different way. These are infinite games. There are no losers here. The more we play, everybody wins. But I was surprised. I was at the United Way Day of Caring event, and people were coming up to the table. 59,000 hours of community service was dedicated, over 400 projects in that day. And what really inspired people was when I would tell them the story that we were the first city to affirm the charter, and now there's all these other cities, but the mayor of Louisville has challenged us to say that they're the most compassionate city in the world. People say, no, we're not going to let that stand. How can I volunteer? And we want people to report their hours. So why not? I mean, I really do appreciate the fact that there's that reptilian part of our brain that responds to this kind of stuff. Whatever it takes, why not? So there is that dimension to the games. We do want to generate 150,000 hours of community service between now and October 21st. So if you're listening and you're wondering what you're going to do today, you can volunteer, you know, check out on thecompassiongames.org. Go do random acts of compassion and tell us about it. And all of those we're going to add up, and hopefully we're going to be able to respond to Louisville and say, okay, here you go. We think we're a more compassionate city, or as compassionate. They're so funny about this. We were joking. They say, and because they're a compassionate city, they're going to help us beat them in the process. And we hope other cities will be inspired this way. In fact, that's our goal, is to really use this as a model for how to engage a community from both the bottom up, top down, outside in, and inside out. It's a four-way partnership. Because the problems of today are too great. No one agency can fix these problems. I sat at that meeting I mentioned with the police, and they can't make us feel safer. Laws aren't going to be changing to make us feel safer. That's only going to happen if we get out and get engaged with our neighbors and know our neighbors and start to interact with each other and do things in a different way. Things won't be different unless we do things differently. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending upon how you look at it, that's where we're at. I mean, we really do need to change the direction we're headed, and we hope the games could be a fun and inspiring way to do it.
You are listening to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is John Raymer of Compassionate Seattle. Our topic is the work of Compassionate Seattle and the Compassion Games, which are currently taking place. Would you like to give a few more examples of action projects that might be available?
There's a couple good ones. I love this Rocks Hill community build. There's a park down in Rocks Hill that has a playground that's no longer usable. And through a number of different agencies coming together, from October 17th to October 21st, there's a community build to rebuild this playground. And show you an example of how this all kind of can work together. So I talked with the Seattle Parks Department representative, and they told me about it. And I talked to a volunteer who's from BECU, from Boeing Credit Union, who's volunteered his time to help organize this. Well, they need 70 volunteers for 5 days in a row. That's a lot. Well, I happened to be on the phone with the executive director of Campfire. She said, well, we can help with that. So they have their own project as well, Campfire does. But then she said, we can get volunteers to help contribute that. And there's still room. So if anyone's listening to this and wonder if you want to do it, for those 5 days from October 17th to October 21st, there's a community build to build a playground down in the Rocks Hill neighborhood. There's a beautiful old castle park where the playground's going to be built. That's one example of the kind of things. There's a Walk for Hunger that's happening. In fact, today will be October 6th. That people will be able to go out in the community. And there's a lot of Buddhist groups that are partnering together because it's sponsored by a global Buddhist group for hunger. But there are many other examples of these kinds of projects, whether they be working in the parks, whether they be neighborhoods that are helping to do cleanup. There's a group that's painting a house in a neighborhood that needs it. There's people who really can't get out and do the yard work in their homes. I mean, any little project like that counts. Anything that you can think of. And the site is full of these examples and projects that people can go and volunteer to do on the CompassionGames.org under the planned action projects.
Would you give us some specific examples of individual compassionate actions?
Yes. So we organize these to kind of get people thinking in four different categories. So there's things you can do for people that you already know. So maybe go visit someone who's lonely. Or maybe you can do some yard work for someone who needs it, right? So that first category for people that you already know. For new friends, or just donating blood. I was at a Whole Foods and I had these compassion cards with me. And, you know, part of the Seattle chill is breaking the ice. So I used the cards to break the ice. This woman drew the card to donate blood. And she had mentioned that recently her father was ill and they used a lot of blood. And that for her, yep, she was going to go donate some blood. So the idea is to get people to pick one of these cards and go do it. So that's the second category for new friends. Then there's also this idea for the world, things we can do, like the cleanup that we're talking about. There's other ways you can do things just for the earth and make the community we live in a better place, as well as things for yourself, such as just practicing 15 minutes of silence, playing super better. So we have a gallery of compassionate actions on the site to get people started and thinking. And there's many more things that are there. There's a guy in Wisconsin we heard about. We put a video about his muffin exchange. So he gets up in the morning and has fresh muffins. And he's got a list of compassionate actions that people could do in any of these categories, not unlike this. And in exchange for committing to do that compassionate act, he gives you a free muffin. And it's these kinds of behaviors and these kinds of generosity of giving, I think, creates a different kind of culture. So that whole area is on the site under the galleries of compassionate actions. And we want people to do these things and then tell us their stories about them.
What kind of response are you getting overall to the Compassion Games?
Everybody smiles when I say Compassion Games, survival of the kindest. I think it can't be good enough. I mean, I want more. We're using social media. So there's a Facebook page. There's a Twitter account, all for Compassion Games, and everybody can help that way because that's the way we got to do things now is spread the word. We're hoping there'll be an editorial in the Seattle Times that we've submitted. We met with the city council. They were all supportive of this and have been notifying their constituents. But, you know, it's a big ship to turn, especially right now when people feel so divided. I mean, with the election in the background and all the news about reasons why we're not connecting. We're trying to create something, like I said earlier, a culture hack that brings us together. So it's good. People love it, but we need more. We need to spread the word. And that's why I was so grateful to you, Diane, for inviting me to be on the show, because this is a form of sustainability. I mean, if we don't have a culture that we feel is reflective of our values, then, you know, what are we really doing here? In fact, during the Yom Kippur services, my rabbi, Rabbi Falcon, used the compassion cards as part of the service. So there's all sorts of creative ways you can integrate this idea of compassion and to bring it into your heart and bring it into your community. That's what I'm hoping, that we'll get more engagement. We can't get too much.
Would you like to share your personal experience in playing the compassion games?
I was really moved. There's some remarkable solutions in our community. There's a young man, Austin Williams, who's got a show called What's Good 206. And this is, again, how you can use social media. So there's a group called Social Moguls who produced a camp during the summer to teach social media skills to young people. And Austin's been out interviewing folks. He's got this Operation Compassion going. He was down at this march that we had in Raleigh down at MLK Park. Really a bright light, an example of what's possible. And he wants to reflect that back to the community. So What's Good 206 and Austin Williams and Social Moguls are one example. And these are treasures in our community. There's so many examples of that. So talking to people about it has been a blessing. It's been a joy to bring this idea to people. First, like I said, people laugh, which is good. It doesn't fit the traditional model. And it's a personal thing, like we started earlier, from within. So when I put those cards forward to people and they look at those cards, like, give away something that's important to you. That's a beautiful example of what people can do for a compassionate act, to realize that we're not so attached and to get beyond those kinds of attachments. So it's been a joy to be able to help organize the games. We hope to have other cities support them and do it on a regular basis here. But right now, the word's still out, and we don't know how we're going to respond to Louisville and whether we're going to achieve our 150,000 hours of community service. So if you're listening and wondering if there's a place for you, there is a place for you, and we urge you to get involved.
After the games are completed, what are your future plans to help promote a more compassionate Seattle?
Well, one thing that we notice is this way of coping with conflict. And the restorative circles, the whole restorative justice movement, is really important. And there's Compassionate Listening has come out of Seattle, a number of organizations that are dedicated to transforming that conflict into something different. And that just takes us being with each other. So Andrea and Susan Partnow are all part of this effort to have restorative circles take place throughout the city. There's a group of meditators that are professionals who are coming together, Take a Breath Seattle, to organize. There'll be a FACES conference happening in October that we'll be at, and they're organizing a group of professionals who are teaching mindfulness and meditation to be able to bring that into the culture as well. There's many expressions of it in civic life as well as in our own personal lives that we think we can affect, and this is just the beginning. We need to get to know each other better, and that's part of what we're trying to do here, and we'll do more of that after the games.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Get involved. Get engaged. Don't be afraid. It is hard. Somehow, we've been swept along. Even though with all of the social media and everything we have, where we seem so connected, at the same time, people feel extremely disconnected, and they feel they're lacking that sense of belonging to one another. This is our world. This is our future together. So what I'm inviting everybody to do is pause, take a breath, check out the Compassion Games, get involved, spread the word. These are the things that really do matter. Like I said earlier, if we don't change our direction, we're likely to wind up where we're headed. Therefore, I feel as if this is the moment to pull out all the stops and to get involved.
Well, thanks so much for being here, John.
You're welcome, Diane. Thanks for having us.
You have just been listening to John Raymer of Compassionate Seattle. For more information, check on the web at compassiongames.org and also compassionateseattle.org. Again, compassionateseattle.org. and CompassionGames.org. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the Sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and KEXP.org.